You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Very familiar passage of scripture in the epistle of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at the 6th verse. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at the 6th verse. If you have it, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, if you have it, you should see these words: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And for a few moments, I'm going to share with us from the thought, the bridge between our anxiety and God's peace. The bridge between our anxiety, our worries, and God's peace. I don't know about you, but the year 2020 is going to go down in history as a very pivotal year. It's a year where we have to deal with a pandemic. It's a year that we have to deal with politics and the surmounting pressure of racial injustice. People are angry, frustrated, hurt, and confused. All of the events that have taken place within these last 8 months has taken a toll on the mental health of a number of people. There is a lot to worry about. There's some things that we can be anxious about that exist in so many households across this country. You see, worry and anxiety doesn't care if you're black or white. It doesn't care if you're Democrat or Republican. It does not care if you are liberal or conservative. All of us have had to confront some worry and anxiety in our lives. People are worried about not only their future, but they're worried about right now. You know, people are worried about the fact that COVID-19 has claimed over 180,000 lives. They're worried about sending their children back to school when many school systems don't even have a clear plan to bring children back. People are worried and they can't sleep at night because we have a fool in the White House who lies so much that he lies about the lies that he just told. We can't get our mail on time. The post office has been being politicized and being used and being weaponized so that someone can gain victory in November. People are being laid off. People are unemployed and unemployment benefits are running low and even running out. People are wondering how they're going to make it in the next day. Congress can't seem to agree on another stimulus package. And while people are being put out by landlords left and right, I tell you that there is a lot of worry and anxiety in our world today. You see, as a child of God, It's something that we need to know, that as children of God, we don't have to suffer from worry or anxiety. You see, so the question is, what is anxiety? Well, anxiety is a feeling of worrying, nervousness, and unease that typically is about an intimate event or something with an uncertain outcome. Anxiety stems from worrying. Worrying takes place on the inside. It takes place within our minds. And anxiety has a tendency to manifest itself outwardly and physically. You do understand that if anxiety, if it's not addressed, it can lead to other medical issues, such as having high blood pressure, such as sleeplessness and increased irritability and the lack of concentration. I tell you today that people are wrapped up, are couched, are embedded in worrying and anxiety. Yeah, and if untreated, Pastor, if untreated, it can lead to other disorders such as alcoholism and even drug use. In our text, the Apostle Paul is going to give us two reasons or two things that we need to make sure that we're able to get across the bridge of our anxiety to the peace that God offers all of his children. You see, there is the pattern of our prayer and the promise of God's peace. So Paul says in the fourth chapter at the sixth verse, be anxious for nothing. This is a command. It's not a suggestion, but he says, be anxious. And Pastor, I kind of dwelled on the word nothing. See, nothing in the Greek is meides, which when translated means not a possibility. No one, nothing, not even one. See, the word shows up three different times within this epistle. Paul says in Philippians 1 and 28, Paul shares with us, and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. In Philippians 2 and 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And even in our text, Paul commands us what? To be anxious for nothing. You see, Paul covers it all. He says, in nothing. He also says, let nothing. And then he concludes with, for nothing. So you know what that means for you and I? Nothing means nothing. Yeah. Too many of us have allowed unchecked stress and unchecked fear to fester in our lives, which will cause us to worry and become anxious. Listen to what Jesus says about worrying in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at the 25th verse. Therefore, this I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? But Jesus continues on in verse 26 and says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If worrying can benefit anybody, I'm pretty sure your situation would change. But since worrying doesn't benefit us, since anxiety does not have any benefit whatsoever, why waste energy and time doing it? There's a story about a man who had a friend who was worried about dying from cancer. He worried so much, Pastor, because cancer was so prevalent in society during this period of time. He worried about getting cancer for over 30 years, that he died from a heart attack. See, listen, should we be concerned about our health? Absolutely. Should we do everything we can to be healthy? Absolutely. But let me share this with you. We should not worry. We do not worry. Because you know what? Because worrying and anxiety is an insult to God. You know what happens when we worry and when we become anxious? It's basically saying to God that my problem, my issue, my roadblock, whatever it is that's going on in my life is bigger than what you can do, God. It's an insult. But don't you know that God is all powerful? Don't you know that God has the ability to change your situation? And if he does nothing else, at least he could change you and I in the midst of our situation? He is holy. Whenever we face the trials and tribulations in this life, we can do what Peter commands in 1 Peter 5:7, where we can cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. The word casting means to throw off or throw away from. As far as you can, remove it. If you could do something about it, do it. But if you can't, turn it over to the Lord. This reminds me of another story of a family who put their grandmother on her first airplane flight. And she was not at all confident about the experience of leaving the ground on this contraption. So when they met her at the airport upon her return, one of the family members kidded with her and asked her, say, hey, well, did the plane hold you up okay? And she grudgingly replied and said, well, yes. But then she quickly added and said, but I never put my full weight down on it. Yeah, many Christians are like that grandma. See, the truth of the matter is that we are sustained completely by God, but we are afraid to put our full weight on him because we too busy wrapped up in our fear. As a result, we are plagued by anxiety. We cannot enjoy the flight of life. See, life has ups and downs, but it's all about the flight of life. It's all about the process of going through life that makes life so rich. Listen, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he couldn't solve it. I wish I had one witness in here. Yeah. So something happens that if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, if you find yourself being anxious, right? Because you know what? By the fact that the man that's writing this actual letter, he had every reason to be anxious. He was in prison. He had been shipwrecked. He had been beaten. He had been ran out of town. If there's anybody who should be anxious and worrying, surely it should be the Apostle Paul. But here it is. Paul is penning these words, and he continues to pen and say that, listen, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, Paul outlines for us the pattern of our prayer. See, God is more than just the man upstairs. You know, Pastor, I have a little bit of problem. I love hymns. And one hymn that kind of makes me a little bit nervous is when the one that says, Jesus is on the main line, tell him what you want. No, we have to be careful with the way that we approach God. First of all, God is holy. You can't come to him any old type of way. He's not a celestial bellhop where he goes and fetches what it is that you want. But we come to him in reverence and respect of who he is, because indeed God is holy. I just have a little difficulty with that hymn. But here it is. Paul shares with us the occasion of prayer. See, the occasion of prayer is this: in everything. That means if things are going good, pray. If things are going bad, pray. If your woman calls you back, pray. If she don't call you back, pray. In everything, when you go to Kroger, pray. When you go to sleep at night, pray. When you go to your doctor's office, pray. No matter what situation we face in life, in everything, we have to pray. Jesus made it known in Luke 18 and 1 that men ought to always pray and not faint. You see, there is a bridge between the anxiety that we feel in this life and the actual peace of God, because nestled right in the middle is prayer. Prayer will help you get to God's peace. And you know what? It's not a suggestion. It is a command. See, if we believe in him, then we must take him at his word. But I like the word but, because but is a conjunction with a function. You see, but helps us to move across the bridge from our worries, from our anxiety, to the peace of God that he promises all his children. Prayer is our vehicle that could transport us from the cares and the worries of this world to the peace of God. If you will, prayer could be your Lyft or your Uber. Prayer can move you from your situation to not only wondering what's going to happen, but prayer allows you to focus on who can make it happen. Yeah, prayer changes everything, but most of all, prayer can change you and I. It's interesting here that Paul just doesn't leave it there about prayer, but he gets really specific about the pattern of our prayer. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You see, supplication is prayer that promotes the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. When we pray with supplication, we are not only humbly submitting our request to God, but we are doing it with a mindset that allows us to be receptive to the will of God. There is a direct connection. But not only should we pray with supplication, but Paul also says that we need to pray with thanksgiving. When was the last time that you thanked the Lord for what he has done for you? When was the last time that you thanked him for waking you up in the morning? When was the last time that you thanked God for the hot dog that you got in the refrigerator? When was the last time you thanked God for the $2 that's in your pocket? Because trust me when I tell you, somebody else wish they had what you had. You ought to thank God for everything. At least thank him for the fact that things could be worse. Yeah. In everything, we ought to give thanks. That's why Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, he says, listen, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is personal. Amen. While we are in the midst of worrying about all the outside things that are taking place in this life, not only does God give us the pattern of our prayer, but he also gives us the experience, the opportunity to experience his promise for peace in our lives. Look at verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. What we see here is the results of the pattern of our prayer. See, the results is that God promises you and I that we can experience and we can have his peace. You know, there is a difference in having or possessing the peace of God and having peace with God. You know, in order to have the peace of God, you first have to have peace with God. As my pastor say, let me put some word on it so you don't think I'm making this up. In Romans 5 and 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why did Paul say this? Well, in verse 10 of that same chapter, he continues on. So he says that, listen, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more than being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Don't you know that before you accepted Jesus Christ, you were an enemy of God? That I was an enemy of God? Why? Because God is a holy God and he cannot be in the presence of sin. Thank you, Jesus, for justification, because justification means that the blood covers me and that when God sees me, he doesn't see just Eric Shoemaker, but he sees me through the finished works of his son. Yeah. You do understand that we were born in sin. David said that I was shapen in iniquity in my mother's womb. Yeah. Only Jesus' precious and perfect sacrifice could satisfy God's judgment in this world. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are no longer enemies of God, but we are now his children. And as a child of God, we are afforded the peace of God. You see, the peace of God is different than peace than we could ever get in this world. In fact, Jesus warned us, and he shared, as he shared with his disciples in John 14 and 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give, do I give to you. Let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Well, why, Jesus? Why is this taking place? Well, he continues on in John 16 and 33, where he says, listen, these things I have spoken to you. Yeah, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The peace of God goes beyond anything that this world can offer. You know, the peace of God goes beyond just positive thinking and word affirmation and trying to say it and claim it and all that foolishness. See, the peace of God can keep you when you can't keep yourself. The peace of God can give you a smile even though you're crying on the inside. The peace of God can give you sleep even though there's some things to really consider and think about. The peace of God can be everything that you need. Thank God for his peace. You know, the peace of God can give us joy. You do know joy is way better than happiness. See, happiness is temporary. I get a new car, I'm happy with it for just a few days until the note comes. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah. But joy can keep you even when you want to cry. Joy can keep you even when you want to quit. Joy can keep you. Yeah, it goes beyond comprehension. It, when we talk about the fact that God's peace surpasses all understanding, listen, we can't fathom it. We can't think about it. We can't comprehend it. If he's ever delivered you out of a situation and you didn't know how it happened, that's what we mean by surpassing all understanding. It goes beyond what I could think. Yes, sir. It goes beyond what we even feel. The peace of God. And what I love about it, Pastor, he talks about how the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Don't you understand that we have an enemy that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy? He is a thief. And the battle is for our minds. You see, Satan knows that if he has your mind, then he has you. See, Paul, that's why I appreciate the Apostle Paul when he says in Ephesians 6 and 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Keep God's Word in your heart. Keep God's Word in your mind. As we come to a close, I'm going to share with you a story about a man named Horatio Spafford. Mr. Spafford was a very successful lawyer and businessman. He lived in Chicago, and as life would have it, he lost everything that he had due to the Chicago fire that took place in 1871. He had already experienced loss. He had lost a son even prior to all things that happened to him. So what he did, he sent his wife and his daughters on a trip to go over to Europe, and tragically, the ship that was carrying his wife and his four daughters, the ship got crashed into by another ship, and the boat that they were on sank in 12 minutes. His wife was spared, and she sent a telegram back to her husband, which said just two words: saved alone. Heartbroken and weary, Horatio Spafford sailed across the ocean to be with his wife. And as the ship approached the area where his daughters were lying in their watery graves, he penned these words: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, lest the blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my hopeless estate and has shed his very own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. No matter what you encounter in this life, No matter who is in the White House, no matter what takes place, you have to arrest, you have to grab hold of the fact that it is well with my soul. And the reason that I know that is well with my soul, because through 42 generations, Jesus had came down, healed the sick, provided sight for the blind. Jesus died upon that cross. He died. Didn't he die? He gave up the ghost, buried in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. He declared that all the power in heaven and earth is in his hand. And that very power that's in Jesus' hand can help us move from our anxiety to God's peace. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.